Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're live. Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, we got a hell of a show for you tonight. Actually, two out of three guests on this show tonight are family. So that's kind of dope. You know, I get to kick back and interview my brothers of the sport. You know, I want to say one thing before we get started. My first guest coming on the show tonight is probably one of the few men in life that I know that truly has the heart, the passion, and the will to better himself in the sport. This man's willing to do it without payment. This man is just wanting to fight. He's wanting to create greatness and a legacy for his family. And I couldn't be more than honored than to have Travis the Animal Thompson on. Travis, how you doing, homie?
I'm doing great, homie. I appreciate you saying those kind words. I appreciate you having me on the show. It's always an honor to be on the Don McGuire Show. You're a very great, humble man. Dude, it's when we talk, it's all we're doing is just talking and hanging out, and I love it every time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of fell in love with you, bro. It is a bromance moment. kind of fell in love with you when I first met you, man. It's like I don't reach out to many in the sport, but going back to the beginning of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, I got an opportunity to interview you. I got an opportunity to meet you, and a friendship came from that. And
absolutely. A brotherhood.
You know, yeah, a brotherhood. And it's unique because it doesn't always happen that way in this sport. As you've seen in a quote I put on my page today about the hate in the life we live now, you know, I think people misconstrue a lot, or people want to be, you know, the one-uppers, I guess you could say. But
well,
in reality,
you know, people just want to have their five seconds of fame. So if they see someone else doing something, they want to trump it. Because if they do that, they might get a couple of people to follow what they say or do. That's a shame.
Yeah. You know, one instance, and we'll move on with the show, one instance that really chapped my ass, and I don't care what a person does in their life. It's not my business as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. But when Kobe Bryant died, I mean, I wasn't a fan of Kobe Bryant's, but not even minutes later, people are posting memes of helicopters running into the mountain. And, you know, I think that's just so disrespectful in life. You know, I think we need to appreciate each other.
Absolutely.
Instead of always trying to one-up each other. You know, Travis, you're getting ready to face Joshua Boudreaux and BKFC 10. You know, you've been around since the conception of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. What does it mean to you now, knowing that you've had opportunity after opportunity, and you're still there, you're creating that legacy, you're still building that foundation, my brother?
Well, I enjoy being a part of it. I've always said, anything that the Feldmans do, I would love to be a part of, and they've pretty much embraced me and let me be a part of. This will be my fifth out of the 10 shows, so I've been a part of half of them, which is big. It's huge to me. And as far as the legacy goes, I haven't done shit yet. You know, I'm nobody and I'm nothing. And I'll always think that way, even if I have a belt. which is what helps me grow as a person, which helps me get better. It does mean a lot to be in BKFC and to be a part of it. I enjoy every opportunity. Because I've been a part of it since the conception, it's almost like a family, you know. It's not almost, it is a family. You know, I talk to all the guys. I mean, just like we came up with a great brotherhood and bond. I did the same with Julian Lane. I went to Mississippi and trained with Jason Knight, you know. So great things happen because of this. I'm just excited to be a part of it and along for the ride.
Right. Isn't it cool to, like, live out your dreams? That's what I always tell people. You know, if you have a dream, live it. And yeah, you're truly doing that. I mean, that's got to be cool.
I'm trying my best. See, I've talked about it before on your show, but, like, I work a construction job, and then I also have a landscape company. So, like, I work, I provide for the family. I'm blessed to have a great wife and kids that actually, I mean, they're kind of, don't get me wrong, they're kind of tired of it, but they allow me to go do the fights because they know it's kind of like my chance to relieve my stress, to go to the boxing gym, to train, to fight. I love it because I get to, you know, I love to be in shape. I love to train, and I get to travel places. So it's a big deal to me, and it's a big deal to me to have the family and the support that I get.
You know, I kind of want my listeners to understand a little bit more in-depth aspect of you. If you're listening, it's never been a belt with Travis Thompson. I mean, this dude truly loves what he does. It's not about a belt. You know, the thing that I admired most about you in your career thus far is when you came back from Mexico, how much it meant. And we talked about this before, but it's truly a pivotal moment for me in understanding the man that you are, is when you gave that medal to your kids, you know, when you got to show it to them. You know, so in saying so, would you say it truly is more than just the belt?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because that's something that after I'm gone, there's still things like that I did, you know, like they still have reminders. They have, like, I have the medal now. I'll get another medal in Florida, and then hopefully one day we'll get the belt. That's what I want to do because that's me. That's, like, we talk about legacy all the time. I want the world to know who I am. I want the world to know that I'm someone that does not give up. That's why this last fight that I had with that win is awesome. He's a great fighter. I took that fight on 4-day notice. So that means I only had 2 days to train, and then the other 2 days I was in Florida. And you know what? I got fight of the night that fight. That just goes to show you, I don't care. You can call me tonight to fight tomorrow. I'll do it. I don't care. I love fighting. I love to put on a show. I just want the world to know who I am. I want not just the world to know who I am. I want them to respect who I am. That's the big thing to me. I don't care. I want to be somebody. I want people to know that I'm somebody and to know that, hey, you know what? Say what you will about his record or whatever, but that's one person I do not want to mess with. When I get that respect, then I'll be happy. Until then, it's keep pushing forward and moving on to the next one.
You know, I kind of want to correlate the nice guy in you with a guest that I had on yesterday and Lorenzo Juggernaut Hunt. You know, he said, man, let's just break it down.
Before. He's a good dude. He's a good dude. I met him in Tampa when I fought Dat. Yep. He's a great guy.
Yeah, but, you know, I want to break it down because I think he really defined it for me. And the way he came across was just priceless. He said, you know, fighting is no different than a job. He said, I asked to do something. I got hired to do something. I'm going to go in there and do it. My job is to hurt other people. My job is to go in there and put on a show. And he said, you know what? If I knock you down and you get up, then you're going to get what you get. You know, that's the true thought of a warrior. I mean, because he's doing this to put food on his plate. You'll fight for free. But the ideology of...
Let's not go that far.
Well, let's see. I was going to bust Dave's chops and say, you do work for Dave.
He takes care of me, helps me out with stuff.
I know, bro. I was busting your chops.
I know. No, he's absolutely right, though. I mean, like, I have to be the hardest working person that you know. Like, that's another thing I want people to know about me. Like, you cannot outwork me. It cannot physically be done. Like, that's what I am. That's who I am. That's what I do. That's why I'm called the animal, because no matter what, I don't stop. And, like, what he said is true. It's a job. It's my job to perform. It's my job to entertain everybody. Listen, if I don't put on a good, exciting fight, who wants to come watch me fight? You know? But at the same time, this, to be honest with you, this fight, I really don't give a shit to entertain. I really just want to make a point to let people know. You know, thus far in bare knuckle, I've fought the best in my weight class. So my record isn't that great. I want people to know, if you're stepping to a plate and thinking that it's going to be an easy fight against me, you're dead wrong. I want to put people down. I want to hurt people. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I plan on doing, and that's what I will do. And I will get another medal to put alongside my other medal. So both my kids will each have a medal. There's nothing stopping me from that. There's nothing stopping me from that whatsoever.
See, that's what I appreciate about you, bro, is, you know, you look at it, and I was like, when the juggernaut told me that yesterday, I was like, man, he reminds me so much in so many ways of Travis. You know, this fight's coming up. Do you think that the opportunities that you've had with Julian Lane, the opportunities that you've had with Jason Knight, have really brought the animal to a whole new level?
It gave me a greater respect for the sport and the people that are a part of it. I can't say it's brought me to another level, because I've always been the same person. I've always been, as soon as that bell rings, like, it's funny, because a lot of people, like a lot of my customers that I have for my landscaping, they know me as a very polite person. You know, I play with their kids. I hang out with everybody. I talk to everybody very politely. But, I mean, you'll see as we go on with this interview, all of a sudden you'll see it switch. Because when you start talking about fighting, you start making me talk about fighting and thinking about fighting, I'm just a totally different person. Then you start hearing the expletives, and I'm a totally different person. As soon as that bell rings, I'm calm, cool, and collected before the fight. As soon as I see my opponent, as soon as that bell rings, totally different. That's when the animal gets unleashed. That's why my shirt says the unleash the animal, because that's what happens. And when that happens, there aren't many people that can take it.
You know, I love your last fight, man. You know, you went against a guy that was tremendously talented in another genre, and you took it on 4 days fight, you know, 4 days notice. What does it mean for you to get these opportunities? Because, like you said, you don't fight slouches. You fight the best in your weight class. You know, a lot of people will say that, well, that's not the way. Well, you know what? We do things our way, and especially you, man. That's what I love about you. I think that's what I appreciate about you the most, is you could put any name in front of you, and you're going to take the fight. What is it about this sport that has Travis Thompson so engulfed in it, so enlightened in it, and, you know, exudes so much passion?
It's really the sport that the Feldmans created. I greatly admire the Feldmans. They're a big part of my life. And the fact that they created something that's a telephone booth. I can hold you. I can hit you. That's something that I could not do in boxing. You know, if I grip you up for a second, the ref wants to come in and break it up. Don't get me wrong. I'm the dirtiest person you'll ever meet. So when the ref's trying to break it up, I'm still throwing punches. I'll hit the ref. I don't give a shit. But, you know. They opened it up. I mean, they paved a whole new road for us, and that's what I loved about it. I get a start up right in your face, and I'm not getting further away. I'm only getting closer. That's what I love about this sport, and that's why I'm going to be a success.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that. You know, basically, it's a legal street fight, you know,
that's
if you really want to look at it.
That's exactly what it is, but you have it. It's a legal street fight with professionals. That's the thing. That's the key there. You have professionals. So you have people that are skilled in throwing their hands and taking punches, that are throwing punches at each other. And I want to make a statement with this fight, and I want this over quickly. Or if you want to stick around, I'll make it as painful as you want it. You know, the smart thing to do is to take the punch and just go down and don't get up. Because if you get up, I'm going to bring more. It's going to be harder and it's going to hurt. That's the one thing people say about this sport. Like, it's bare knuckle. You got to protect your hands. You can only throw half power or three quarters. You watch my fights and you tell me how many times I throw half power. If I hit you with an overhand, you're going to hell. You're going to sleep. You're not getting up. That's what happened in Mexico. As soon as I hit him and I connected with the overhand, I wiped my hands. I knew he wasn't getting up. And that's because I throw 100%. You're not going to hurt my hands. I can hit a brick wall. What makes you think your skull is harder than a brick wall? If I can punch a brick wall, I can punch your head, and it ain't going to hurt.
Yeah. You know, I do got to give the Feldmans tremendous credit. What they're doing is phenomenal. Each card gets better and better, and they're implying more cards all the time. You know, like I told you before we went live, I got a call from Mr. Live Worldwide, Mr. Jeff Houston today.
it's
a tremendous organization, because when you've got the fighters to the managers to executives to one of the greatest ring announcers in the world calling you, you know, out of respect, Feldman's doing something right. I mean, I'll give him that. Feldman is doing something right. And, you know, I love Nate Shook. He's a good guy. You know, Travis, your fight is right around the corner, homie. You know, Boudreaux is just the bump of the road. What are your thoughts going into this fight?
Victory. That's the only thought I have. Victory. That's it. I'm putting on a show. I'm going to do it's going to be a great performance. Hopefully it'll be over quick. I want to make a statement. I want people to know who I am. I want people to know, shit, like, maybe we'll think twice before getting into this sport. That's the other thing. Like, they got the bronze medalist coming into my weight class. I don't care who you bring in my weight class. I'll test everybody out. I'll fight anybody, anytime. I don't care. I'll bump up weight classes. I can care less. It doesn't bother me. I want people to know what you're getting into. And I would love to be the first to welcome everybody in, because then they're going to think twice before they continue.
Yeah. See, man, I was hoping you were going to get on the BKFC Kansas card. Man, that would have been so dope, bro. I mean,
There's still time. Please. When I put this guy down and I have a scratch on me and it lasts a couple seconds, they'll think about it. That's all for Dave.
I love that, bro. Then you can come up here and kick it for a day. You know,
listen to me, there's no disrespect. I'm not trying to put down my opponent. That's not what I'm doing there. I'm not overly confident. I just know what I can do. I know what I can take, and I know what I can dish out. I know you cannot take what I dish out, and I know I can take anything you dish out. You can bring bricks with you in the ring, hit me with them, and you'll break the brick. Not going to hurt me whatsoever.
What does it mean for Travis Thompson to prove himself in this sport? I mean, you have, but what does it mean for you to continue building on that respect aspect behind your name?
I just hope one day I can actually look myself in the mirror and have the respect for myself that I think I should have. It's hard, you know? That's also what makes champs champs. You know, I'm never going to be satisfied with myself. That's it. Kind of sucks to live that way, but that's also how you get to greatness. The only thing is, when you get to greatness, I'm still going to feel like I'm nothing, which means I'm going to keep having to continue on.
You know, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to be the elephant in the room, step away from the interview, and ask you a question. And you're going to hate me for this. You're going to hate me for this. Do you think that a Sheena Star Ashley Gambino fight should occur in BKFC?
I'll
put you on the spot.
No, that's cool. That doesn't bother me. You know, I like Sheena. She is a good fighter. You know, she helps out a lot with all the fighters, actually. She's a great person. And the only thing I don't like is that Gambino's getting the spotlight. Like, that's what I don't like. Like, why do you deserve the spotlight? That's the one thing I hate about not just our sport, but all the sports in general, is that you get these people that are on YouTube that suck, that are nothing. They're nobodies. They're a piece of crap. And they get, you know, big money to fight. You know why? Because people want to see it. And that's fine. If they want to see it, do it. That's fine. That's fine. But if you give me one of those, yay. And that's fine. That's your prerogative. Don, you know me. I don't give a shit who you put on the card. You know what? If I'm on the card, that's the only shit I give a shit about. You know what I mean?
I just have to be the elephant.
I know. Yo, someone's got to ask it, and that's fine. I don't care. You know, I would love to see Sheena get that knockout because that girl does run her mouth, and then when she does the interview, she tries to act all nice, like, oh, we're all nice people and this, that, and, you know, get the fuck out of here. You're a piece of craps. You both are.
Yeah.
And Trapp said some things about me being, you know, the P word. I'm not going to say it because my wife told me not to be using those words. I've been doing the interviews. But, like, dude, like, who are you? You're a 300-and-some-pound fat blob, and you're going to talk shit? You've never thrown a punch a day in your life. Like, you would get winded after 10 seconds. So I don't respect that shit whatsoever.
No, I don't either. I watched it play out on social media. I just wanted to mess with you because we're brothers, and
yeah.
I wanted to be the elephant in the room.
You're my man. No, that's,
but I see the way that Trapp Gambino has been attacking many of late, and a lot of these people are...
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. That's the one thing that pisses me off. A lot of people attack on the computer. Try to come talk to me in my face, okay? I don't care if you're 8 foot tall and I'm talking to your belly button. You're not going to talk to me that way. I'll kill you. I'll destroy you. I don't care. You can outweigh me, be taller than me, be stronger than me. It does not matter because the one thing I do not do is quit.
Yeah. But, you know, that's why I love having you on the show, man, because...
You're getting me going. You're getting me going. It's going to happen.
I love it. And I don't want you to get in trouble, Obi. But,
yeah, she's got to come upstairs and put me in my place.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, this is another opportunity for you. This is, like I said earlier, another stepping stone for you. You know, have you brought anybody, and I'm going to do the Wikipedia or topology question to kind of calm you down here for a second. But have you brought anybody into the camp this time, or has it just been the same as usual?
It's been my guys at King's Gym, and I want to thank all of you guys at King's Gym because, you know what, you guys are hardworking guys, man. You guys push me to my limits, and you guys never let me take a break, and that's what I need. You know, Maurice Morales and Kashawn Hutchins been helping me out, Hutchinson, and then Keenan Collins. Keenan Collins and Maurice Morales have been my coaches the whole time. They always help me work on progressing. You can never take a step back. You got to progress. So I've been working on all my, my jabs, my right hands, my hooks, keeping my head, hands up, moving my head, getting off the line, doing all that. All my guys at King's Gym, you know, I love you all. I appreciate all the work, because you guys all push me to my limits. And that's what I need. I need my guys. That's I couldn't go elsewhere. I was thinking about going because I wanted to go with either Jason or Julian, you know, because they both give me invitations. And, dude, I had the best time when I was training with Jason for his fight. And, you know, they got some tough guys in Mississippi. And I know Julian's got the same in Ohio or at his Vegas camp that he wanted to take me to. But honestly, I couldn't leave home. I couldn't leave home because I know what I got here in Reading. You know, when I go to the gym at King's Gym in Reading, it's a whole new world, man. You got people that are hungry, that want to fight. That's what you need because those are the ones that are going to push you to greatness.
Most definitely, brother. On a final closing statement, what would Travis Thompson like to say to the fans of BKFC and the people that are going to go out in droves to Florida to see you at BKFC 10? What would you like to say to them and thanks?
I want to thank all of you for helping this sport evolve. And it's growing greatly and faster than any other sport. I want to thank all of you for everything because without you guys, there is no bare knuckle. The fans help the, obviously help the fighters because if we're not selling tickets, we're not getting paid and there is no bare knuckle. So without the fans, we're nothing. I thank you all. I thank the entire bare knuckle team because you guys have been doing a phenomenal job. I thank everybody. If I could for a second, I just want to thank all my sponsors that have been hooking me up and helping me out. So
I was going to hand the mic to you anyway, homie, so go ahead.
My man, I appreciate that, Don. I want to thank all my guys that helped me with this camp. Like I said before, King's Gym, all you guys there. Without all of you, I wouldn't be in this position. Without every single sponsor that I have, I would not be in the position where I'm going to get this medal. I'm getting this medal February 15th. This is mine. I want to thank Kling Law. These guys are out of Florida. We got Kling Law and JKS Construction and Engineering Incorporated. Those are my guys in Florida. I want to thank my guy Ronnie Peden, who hooked me up with Shock the City Productions, Harpoon Records, and my man Mr. Z Note, who's going to walk me out in the ring. And then we got To-Do List right here with me in Warrensburg, PA. He does all the home remodeling and everything like that. I got Shorty Sunflower Cafe, who's hooking me up again here in Pottstown. I only go there for my breakfast, man. I love that place. And we got Iron Jaw hooking me up this time with our new mouthpiece. And I got Black Label, who's going to do my banner for the fight, which is awesome. Don, have you seen it on Facebook yet? It looks awesome, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, I did. It's pretty dope.
Yeah. And then Mary Jane's House of Glass is going to hook me up with some merchandise. I just want to thank everybody that's been a part of my camp. I want to thank, like I said, man, without these sponsors hooking me up, I wouldn't be able to focus on this fight. I'm going to make you all proud. I appreciate all the support from all the fans, all my family, you know. You guys help me. Every comment that I read on Facebook, on Instagram, that's what drives me. That's what gets me going. I don't care if it's a positive comment or a negative comment. I love all comments. I want to know what people think about me. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to prove myself in this sport. And I want to thank you all. Don, I want to thank you. I want to thank Joe Rice because you guys hooked me up. You guys are my first sponsor by me mouth guards. You guys hooked me up in the beginning.
Well, you know, homie, we love you, and we're going to be doing something soon again. You know,
absolutely.
Go out there and shine, my brother. BKFC
yes,
10,
sir.
Thompson versus Boudreaux. Hey, man.
One more
give
thing.
Give it your best,
Don.
Homie. Do your work, man. Do your work.
No doubt. Vince,
love you,
brother. Thank you for your help.
All
thanks,
right, man.
Brother.
I love you, homie.
I'll talk to you, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Travis Animal Thompson. That's my homie, so it's not even really going to be like a real interview sometimes. It's more of a phone call and everybody's listening in. And that's going to happen again right now when we give a tremendous UFC veteran and brother of mine, Mr. Zach Cummings, a call. UFC fighters for you. Zach, are you there? I guess I'm going to have to try to call him back. All right. Let's try one more time if he doesn't answer, because I forgot to tell him it's the New York area code, because that's where iHeartRadio is out of. So.
Hello?
Hey, Zach. This is Don McGuire with the
there
first voice.
There we go.
I'm good. And, hey, you know, first and foremost, it was an honor and a privilege to be able to see you at Springfield Fight Club and to see the Zach Cummings striking systems evolve. You had quite a crowd there, brother. How does it make you feel knowing that that aspect of your career is also growing?
It's cool, man. A couple of different things. So it's awesome to see my home gym where I started is still going strong and growing every day. And then that they, you know, trusted me and had confidence in my skill set and asked to be affiliated under, under me for striking. So, and then this watching their, they've always been a very, very jiu-jitsu heavy gym, and seeing their striking classes blossom and get the numbers that they've been having, it's just been really cool to see. So, it's just kind of a whole evolution, everything. I mean, I love coaching, and then also being able to share knowledge with other schools and other gyms and all that is just a pretty cool asset in my life, I guess.
I guess. You're always so humble, bro. You know, you get to fight on the same card with Michael Johnson again. How cool is that?
Hopefully this one, we actually get to fight on the same card. We're supposed to in St. Louis. I kind of busted my head in the bathtub. So goal is to actually be able to make it to the fight and perform. So, no, I'm really pumped. So, I mean, me and Michael, started the sport together and kind of built up our careers together. And he's, a brother of mine, and for us to be able to join the same stage on the UFC level is it's kind of a dream come true. It's a long, long time coming, and I'm really excited, even though it's kind of towards the endish of our careers. It's kind of the it's a cool thing to be able to share with him. We fought on so many cards together back in the day that now we get to do it at the highest level. It's just I don't know, kind of surreal.
Yeah, it would be, like you said in the opening statement, just stay away from bathtubs, bro.
Well, hopefully going back to 85 kind of fixed that problem, so.
Right? It's been tremendous to watch, like you said, because I was around in the old days of the Springfield Fight Club with Michael Johnson, Josh Downing, Jesse Zwiggin, How pertinent of an aspect was it for you to have those guys in the younger years, and how much did it bleed off into the Zach Cummings that we know today?
Oh, it was huge. I mean, we had a young room of a bunch of lions that were just down to grind every day. I mean, back in those days, we really didn't – like, we had a coach, but he was more of a leader – and still was learning as, right there with us as we went. He was a little ahead of the game with when it came to us, when it comes to jiu-jitsu. But, he was just down to continue to learn and listen to all of us and all the skill sets that we had and just try to put it together. But more than anything, Rick was just a great leader for all of us. And then, we just put our head down and, we just went at it all the time. So having that tough group that we had, I really feel like kind of paved the way of just keeping the toughness there and just grinding and everything. It's just kind of how the old days were. I feel like now we try to look at things and, set up a practice routine, try to be all a little more scientific with it and, only spar so many days to do everything. And it's a whole new whole new animal now and stuff, but man, be able to just get in and get after it every day the way we did, definitely helped building up in this sport.
Yeah, it truly did. And I mean, you're even still competing with some of your old teammates, but just on different aspects. You and Brian Perriman, I think you guys had children about about the same time, you know. So it's kind of cool, though, because for me to be around this long and watch you become the tremendous young warrior and young man that you are in life, it's humbling, you know, to know your family, to be a part of the Tough 17 viewings with you, and just to be able to share and be along for the ride of Zach Cummings' life has been a tremendous opportunity for me. You know, how does Zach Cummings perceive the sport now that I believe you're 33 or 34 years old?
Now 35. Boy's 30, old.
Oh my God, you're getting old on me, son.
Yeah.
But when you look over your shoulder now, how do you perceive the younger Zach compared to the Zach that steps into the octagon now?
Naive. You know, it was one of those where back, I trained all the time, but I could have been much smarter the way I trained. I could have, probably lived a healthier lifestyle. I mean, I was, you know, in my college years and still going out, having fun, being stupid, partying, doing all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things I could have done to probably speed up the process of everything, but I also look back and, you know, maybe I might have done that, might have sped the process, and it might not have been quite ready for it to happen then. So it's kind of hard to look at all that, but, you know, back in the day, whenever I looked at myself that I thought I was impossible to beat and just kind of naive about everything was it's a cool feeling to have, but I feel like now I have a little more I'm very honest with myself and everything, and I try to be very smart the way I fight and the way I train. But you know, I do kind of miss some of that, just that dumb naiveness that I used to have. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's kind of the truth.
Yeah, I feel you there. You know, there was a person in your life at one time. I don't know if he's still in your life to this day, but there was a person that I looked up to, I admired in the sport, who's a tremendous man in his walk, and that being Mike Glenn. What aspects did Mike Glenn add to the creation of Zach Cummings?
Man, I don't think I'd be where I am today if it wasn't for Mike. He was a big brother to me in the game. Basically taught me by beating my ass. It's one of those where he would do stuff and just beat my ass. I'm like, okay, what are you doing? Like, okay, well, this is working against me. Let me try this stuff. And that's really, especially my striking, like, every lot of stuff started coming from him, and little setups and combinations that he would hit me with. So then I would just, like, oh, okay. And I'd try to get to other people, and it'd start working. And but having that kind of big, strong, older brother person that I could just get in and get after it with, you know, it was it definitely helped me a lot. It helped me grow. It helped me humble me and everything. You know, kind of I thought I was going to be pretty tough coming from a college wrestling background into the room, and then having him just kind of throw me around like a rag doll. Definitely kind of kept me humble and everything. I just always felt bad knowing how good he was and knowing how talented he was, that, you know, sometimes he wasn't able to show up on fight night. He kind of got in his own way a few times, but then, plus he was a little bit older. So by the time like the sport really started getting bigger, he was a little kind of past that time. So I just kind of, I almost feel more knowing how good he was and what he, the potential he had, that I wish he kind of would have had more of a shot in a career at this than he was able to, but I figured it's kind of my job to be able to do what I'm doing for the both of us.
I feel you there. You know, you got a tremendous fight coming up, you know, against Andrew Sanchez. For the first time, I think, in your career, you made it tough on a brother, homie. You made it, but I still got to side with you, Zach, but still, you made it tough on a brother. You know, me and Andrew Sanchez, we go way back. What are your thoughts about the aspect that Andrew Sanchez brings to the sport? Because he's a gentleman like you. He doesn't talk crap. He shows up on fight night and he gives the fans what they expect. What are your thoughts going into this fight with Sanchez?
Man, just what you said. He's a really good dude. He really is. He's one of those that you get his name, you're like, oh, cool, I'm fighting someone who I really like and respect and everything. And
right.
So, I mean, this is the point where it's like strictly professional, and you know, it's a game, it's a sport, it's a competition, and you know, we're gonna train you know, to best each other, and we're gonna go out there and see who can put the best game plan and who can show up that night and perform and see who the best guy is. I mean, I've got tons of respect for him. He's a very good wrestler, a good grinding pace. You know, he's one of those where even most of his losses, he was winning until, you know, something happened. So he's a game opponent. He's definitely going to be tough, but I feel like I definitely have the skill set to beat him. I think I have the skill set to finish him, but you know, I gotta be on top of things. I gotta be fighting a smart fight and stuff to do so, or else, you know, I mean, he definitely has potential to be able to take me down and hold control, grind and stuff. I don't see him finishing me, but, you know, I mean, it's just going to be the deal of, you know, can I stop his takedown? Can I stop the grind? And can he stop, you know, my power shots? Can he stop my submission attempts and all that? So it's definitely gonna be a chess match for sure, but there's, all the respect is there in the world.
Oh yeah. You know, he's a tremendous young man. I've known him, God, I've known you longer, but I've known him just pretty close to about the same amount of time. You know, I kind of want to take a step out of the sport for a moment, if you don't mind, because, you know, you had a child, and
mm-hmm.
having children, it changes people. You know, it in some aspects in reality, the real world, it doesn't do anything for anybody, but me knowing you, I know it created a new man. You know, it happened to Donald Cerrone. You know, it reinvigorated him. It revived his career. What did having a child do for Zach Cummings?
For me, it was one of those where it showed me that I have more to life than the sport of MMA. I love this sport. That's, like, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love this sport. And I've put my whole life and soul into it for many, many years. Having my daughter kind of showed me that, you know, there's more to life and everything. So, like, when I decide to walk away, it's okay. It's fine. Like, I've got a family that loves me. I got a family that supports me no matter what I do. And, you know, moving forward, it's going to be everything about her and not necessarily about me. So I need to take the time I have left and enjoy it and get everything out of it I can. That way, whenever it's time to move on and everything's about her, you know, I'll be fine personally with it.
Yeah. You know, Zach, I feel I'm probably one of the only people that can fairly ask you this question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but he was a brother of mine, and this last year we lost a tremendous person in Chop Shop and the Armadillo, William Joplin. How hard was that for you and all of the Glory family to lose such a stable aspect and brother in Choppy?
Yeah, I mean, losing anybody is hard. You know, it's never easy. Whenever you lose someone else that you see almost on a daily basis, and you know, spend hours and time and see just kind of see the person they really are. And you know, Joplin's one of those guys that he could be the biggest creeper in the room, like, for sure, but he could also, like, he's also, like, one of the best teammates you could possibly ask for. He would do anything for you, go cut weight, travel places to help coach. He traveled for most road trips of fights that I've seen, and, like, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you look over, and Joplin's there and stuff, and yelling and cheering, and, I mean, he's just such a good dude and did everything, and he lived and died for this sport. He gave everything he possibly had, no matter what. you know, you've got these guys that make it and kind of take advantage, you know, just kind of take it for granted and stuff. And you have someone who, you know, he's fun on some bigger shows and everything, but he was just kind of one of those regional guys that just, man, but he just put his whole life into the sport and was just such a good training partner and stuff. It's hard to lose somebody like that. I mean, it's never easy losing anybody and stuff, but just kind of knowing what he was for the sport and stuff, it makes it a little bit harder. I mean, he's been around since the day I started, and you know, I remember seeing him in Columbia with like 20 amateur belts wrapped around his waist and chest and everything, but, you know, not even there fighting. He was just watching his title fight. There were all these title belts around him. So, I mean, job was job, man. He was a different character, but man, he was a good person. He was a very, very good person. And it's never good losing anybody, but let alone losing someone who's got a truly, truly big heart the way he did.
Yeah, you know, it was last year, I think. I think last year, you know, maybe the year before, they all come together. I was up at Glory Shooting, and I didn't let anybody know it was my birthday. And Joplin found out, and him and Yaz both took me out for dinner. And I mean, he was one of a kind. You know, the reason I brought it up was because me and Tim Elliott are still friends. And the other day, Tim posted a video, and he was camping, and underneath his trailer was an armadillo. And somebody had mentioned, you know, that's just Joplin watching out for you, homie. And, you know, I truly believe that in some ways because, as you say, Joplin, he was one of a kind. He can't be recreated. You know, Joplin was just the man that would give it his all, and, you know, you got to love him for that. You know, Zach, you went to Disney on Ice the other day, I believe. You know,
I went to Sesame Street Live.
Sesame Street Live.
Oh,
Who had more fun, you or your daughter, bro?
Oh, my daughter, hands down. She was losing her mind. But it's funny, I saw some pictures that are all laughing because I was like almost in tears just watching her, the happiness, the joy coming out. Like, you know, she saw Elmo and just lost it, jumped at him, like hugged him so big. And like, I literally almost cried. I was so happy. And then during it, just looking over and seeing her just jumping, screaming, being so happy. I had no idea that, you know, she could keep her attention for that amount of period of time at all. But, man, she was just smiling ear to ear the whole time. And it was just a really, really, really cool experience to kind of watch her. So I loved it, but it was mainly just watching her enjoy things.
I think you enjoyed it a little bit more, bro. But
The songs are good. The songs are good. I had a little bump going in my step. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's always fun to do things like that. You know, I don't get very many opportunities anymore as I get older. You know, you talk about getting old, bro. I'm 55 years old, homie. I never thought I would get to be this age, but hey, I made it. You know, Zach, I look at the life that you've created in the sport, and, you know, I've brought certain aspects of this up on the show before, but, you know, the way you inspire people, it changed my life, it's changed many's. You know, who put that inspiration in Zach Cummings to be the man that you are in your walk and give the knowledge that you do to people without asking anything in return?
I don't know. You know, that's probably a good question. I don't know. It's one of those where I think growing up with, I think growing up with a person like my dad, you know, who was so negative to me, you know, nothing was ever good enough. He was just really, really hard on me coming up. So it was one of those where I think he was so negative that I wanted to make sure that I was never that way, you know, like whenever I had kids, but for teammates, whatever. So I've always just wanted to kind of be more of a positive person and everything. I mean, I get it. You know, sometimes you got to come down on people and stuff. And then I had my mom in my life, and, you know, my dad finally came around towards the end of some different things. But, you know, playing multiple sports as a young child, it wasn't easy. It was very, very rough with him. But I think, you know, him being as hard as he was on me kind of made me the competitor that I am. So, I mean, I got to thank him for it. But I think some of that is the reason why, you know, I'm always wanting to try to, like, help people and bring them up and be positive and all that stuff than breaking people down.
Yeah, I agree with you there, homie. You know, I look at what you do in the sport. I look at what you do in the gym. And I look how you correlate with people in life. And I could be wrong, but I think your passion and your love for the sport, your door is killing me. I think your passion for the sport is more than just the belt. Would you say that's a fair assumption?
Than just the belt?
I said your passion for the sport is more than just winning a belt. Would you say that's a fair assumption?
Absolutely. I mean, that's always the that's a big time goal that a lot of people want to hit and everything, and, you know, me as well. But I think so many people get fixated on, you know, just being a champion, just winning the belt and stuff like that, that you kind of lose focus and you lose track of the process. You know, you still kind of have to live in the now, and everything. You still kind of have to, like, just look around and see where you are in life. There was definitely a time where, like, nothing was good enough. You know, I just wanted to get to the top and get as fast as I can and everything. And then, you know, get a little bit older and get some time in the sport and, you know, 12 fights, 6 years or whatever it is in the UFC. There's times where I just stop and sit back and look. I'm like, man, like, I've done way more than I ever thought I could or would in this sport. So, I mean, I'm not done, and I want to keep pushing forward and setting new goals. But, you know, sometimes you have to, I mean, as dumb as it sounds, it literally, like, stop and, like, smell the roses and look where you're at and just be grateful. I mean, like, so everybody wants the next best thing and the next thing, and sometimes you kind of forget to just be grateful of what you got and, like, what you've accomplished and all that stuff. And I try to hold on to that, but also wanting more as well, you know, trying to have a good balance of being happy with life and being happy with the things I've accomplished, but also still keeping that drive of wanting more.
Yeah, I feel you there. You know, Zach, if any thoughts that you had in your heart or in mind that you'd like to express for the people that, you know, have followed you, stood by you, and continue to ride this ride out with you, what are your thoughts going into this fight with Sanchez? What would you like to say to the fans, the people who believe in you? What words of respect would you like to share with them?
I will admit that in the last couple of fights, I think there was a certain level of a lack of drive. There was kind of me dealing with life, going through things, and just kind of like being in the moment and just kind of like stepping in, relying that I can fight. And I feel like I've found I had a few different things that kind of happened, you know, nothing big, just kind of, you know, there's a few different things that where I've had a little bit of time to kind of stop and think and reassess things. And I kind of got that, relit that fire again for training and the process of the fight and not just the fight itself. That's one of the things where I feel like you get to a point where you're like, all right, I just need to get to the fight. Like, you know, I need to be safe. I need to keep my body intact and everything. And you kind of just forget, like, that process is what hardens you. That process is what prepares you to to get to that, and which preps you for everything, you know, that you're about to endure in that fight. So falling back in love with that process is kind of a thing. Like, it's happened to me before. It was, when I was in Springfield, it kind of happened, and then I moved up here and just kind of had a – I moved to Kansas City and just had, like, a new jolt of energy, and just kind of, like, fell back in love with the process. And then, you know, you start putting – the thing about this sport is there's no off season. Like, there's no off season. There's, you know, football has a season, baseball has a season, basketball, like, all these different sports have seasons. And then you have a short off season, and even if you are high level and you get back into training, like, you have you still have seasons that you're always on. You're always on. You're always back in the gym training. Like, you could take, you know, a week off or whatever after you fight, but you're always in the gym. You're all, you know, gym and always on. So, you do years and years and years of that. It wears on you. It wears on you. So I feel like I kind of fell into that a little bit. And then, recently I kind of got that love and that drive back again for the process, for the practices, for the grind, and just kind of prepared to get back after it. So this is going to be a fight where I feel like the process is going to show in the competition. So that's what I'm kind of excited to see, and excited for my fans and followers and support team to see the difference.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think it's going to be a tremendous war. You know, Zach, I'm always humbled that you come on my show. I know you're a very busy man. I mean, if you're not in Springfield teaching class, you're up at your own gym in Glory Northland, or at least Summit doing something. You know, but I got one more question before I let you go, if you don't mind. You know, I kind of want to take a BJJ aspect and turn it into an MMA world. You know, although you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu, you know, when you look at the sport, how does Zach Cummings see it? Do you see it as a white belt, although you're a black belt? Do you see it as a never-ending process of learning? Even though you've acquired, you know, the highest pinnacle of the sport being in the UFC, do you step in the octagon seeing yourself as a white belt?
Well, let's look at jiu-jitsu first, and then we'll basically the same stuff applies for MMA. So you start as a white belt, and you get, you start obtaining knowledge and all this stuff, you know, and you finally get to a black belt, which means that you are a master in that art, which is a cool thing. Now, yes, basically what you're asking is true. I feel like, before, you don't really know enough, but once you get to black belt and you're a master, I think now you actually realize how much you don't know, how much there is out there, and how much of the world and the life and the martial art and MMA and everything is always growing and always evolving. So, same thing with MMA. I mean, I feel like, yes, I got to the UFC, which means I know what I'm doing and I've been in it for a long time, but I also understand that this sport is ongoing, changing, evolving, and you have to be able to adapt and change with the times and the sport. And if you don't do that, it's going to leave you behind. And there are tons and tons of examples of that happening. I'm not going to, you know, throw anybody's name in there, but there's a lot of fighters that think they're good and rely on it, and then, you know, all of a sudden these younger guys are surpassing them, and it's not just age. So yes, it's one of those where I feel like it's not quite a white belt, because the at that point you don't know enough to even realize that. But once you get to a point where your eyes are more open, you can see how much you don't know, which is kind of a crazy, scary feeling, knowing how much you know and knowing that you're not even scratching the surface. So, that's for sure. And that's everything. I mean, that's freaking life, any business, any job that you could think of. Like, everything's always going to be changing and evolving. And if you think you're good and you think you know enough and refuse to
to evolve, like, you're just going to get left behind and you're never going to be able to keep up. So MMA is the exact same thing.
Yeah, it goes with that old saying, if you think you're the best, there's always somebody who's better. And, you know, I love the way you put that out there, though. It's kind of transforming it into MMA was kind of weird, but, you know, I'm glad you got my thought and were able to articulate it. You know, Zach, I know you just got done with training. I want to thank you for taking the time out to come on the show. I wish you the best of luck with Sanchez. It's going to be a tremendous fight. Hey, everybody get the pay-per-view. Do whatever you got to do because this is a fight you're not going to want to miss. You know, and this time, Zach, if you do break your orbital, remember, two steps to the right, bro.
Hey, we made it. We got it through the last one, man. That one with Trevor Smith broke it in the first 7 seconds of the fight and had to fight the whole way with it. So, well, yeah, I think I've got this down now, how to fight with broken orbital. Sadly.
Yeah, people don't realize you can't see anymore like you did before, you know, once your orbital's broken.
No.
But you did a tremendous job, my brother.
I appreciate you never want to deal with. No, I appreciate you having me on, as always.
Hey, I'm going to toss the mic to you. If there's any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything you want to throw out there, brother, before I let you go, the floor is yours, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, follow me on social media at Zach Cummings. Prepare for the April 25th in Lincoln, Nebraska. Got me, my boy Michael Johnson, my Denver Factory X teammate Anthony Smith is the main event. So we get all that, and then all my family, my supporters, thank you, my management, Iridium Sports, and those guys are always pushing it and grinding, and it's awesome. I feel like it's really cool to know I now have a team that is like really working hard for their fighters. It's really cool to see. So, but yeah, that's all I got. So check me out, hit me up, ask a question, I will do my best to answer for you guys.
Appreciate you, homie. Thank you. Tell the family I said hi, and you have a good night, and God bless you, brother.
All right, thanks.
All right, peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the one and only Zach Cummings. I love giving him a bad time, but we're running a little bit behind, so let's give Caleb Harris a call. And hopefully he doesn't freak out off the New York number either.
Hello.
Hey, Caleb, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Oh, man, it feels like I'm talking to Mississippi Mean and Jason Knight with that accent of yours.
Oh, come on, man. Mine's not nearly as bad as Jason's is it?
It's pretty close, brother. It's pretty close.
Yeah, you're right. I hate hearing myself on videos. You hear when country music comes on, it gets 10 times worse.
Hey, well, it's not a bad thing, man. You know, you look at Jason Knight, you got Mississippi Mean, you look at you, and, man, you're devastating, man.
Mississippi Humble.
You know, you got a hell of a fight coming up with Jim Allers, man. What are your thoughts going into that aspect, brother?
Man, I'm just ready to fight. I'm a man, this is what I was put on this earth for. When God was making me, man, he left out the brains and the smarts and everything, and he put an extra heart and extra grit in me.
Oh, that's dope. You know, I got to be honest with you. I watched your last fight, man, and I'm probably going to butcher the dude's name, but Jeff Chiffins, you put a beating on that boy, and that's what truly earned this opportunity to fight Jim Allers. Do you expect, you know, the same type of, you know, outing going into BKFC?
Man, Jim is by far the most experienced and well-rounded fighter that I've ever fought. And so I'm looking to really test my mettle against him, and it'll be another step to a higher platform when I win. Do I expect me to go in there and just walk right through him? No, I mean, Would I love to do that? Yes, but I'm not delusional. I have respect for Jim, and I know how hard he's busting ass, because I know how hard I'm busting ass to get ready for this fight. And so I'm looking at this like a war. I mean, I'm prepared very much to go down to Florida and die if I got to in that ring.
You know, this is a tremendous opportunity for you, you know, to face somebody of Jim Allen's caliber. But, you know, you've created greatness in bare knuckle already. What does it mean to you to know that you stepped up in this sport and now you're truly making a name for yourself?
Man, it's still surreal to me. Like, there's moments in time where I'm sitting around at the house talking to my buddies or talking to my dad, and I'm just like realizing that I've made it to the next level. Like, I'm no longer this local kid fighting out of some small town of Lake Mississippi. I'm on the free. Like, my dad just sent me a video on Facebook. He's in a hotel room at work right now, and a commercial came on that had me on it getting ready to announce for BKS10. Like, in a year's time, I went from a nobody to being the co-main event of a pay-per-view card. And I mean, it's incredible to me, man. Like, I mean, this is my dream since I was 7 years old, and I'm just living the high life. I know there's going to be ups, and I know there's going to be downs. Right now, I got up at the right time and landed the right at the right time. And, you know, now I think they're realizing that I'm marketable. So they want to put me against the toughest guys. I've asked for the toughest guys. I never will ask for an easy fight, you know. I was supposed to fight several other people before I fought Jeff Chiffins, but Jeff Chiffins was the only one that they could find on 2 weeks' notice. And, I sit there and I got it on video. Send me anywhere outside of Mississippi. I'll fight anybody. And so they send me to Jim Allers' backyard to fight Jim Allers.
That's a hell of a fight. You know, my show is a little bit different than Combat Insiders. It's not a Wikipedia or Tapology show. So we're going to be jumping all over the place, homie. And
hey, let's do it, man.
You know, I kind of want to take you a step back, because – first and foremost in this sport, I don't believe in losses. I believe in lessons. But I want to take you back to the Harris-Stevenson fight. You know, you learned a lesson that night. What was it that was reinvigorated in the passion of you, Caleb? Because now you're on a two-fight winning streak. What did you go back and fix psychologically, fundamentally, and emotionally to go on a two-fight win streak?
All right. Well, I'm going to do it in a little different order. Fundamentally, we went back and we trained more for boxing. I still believe in bare knuckle that MMA head movement works better than boxing, where you're dropping your hands and dipping low at the back. I'd rather use my legs and gravity to help me get under punches. But we took back from that. My hands were so swollen fighting Harris, because I landed several left hooks in the later rounds, but I kept landing them to his cheekbone. And so by the fourth round, my jab was hurting me to throw because my knuckles were so sore. So we went back and we started focusing on a lot more accuracy, because with big gloves and MMA gloves, you can kind of hit in the general area. With bare knuckle, you got to have sniper-type accuracy and start aiming. So that's what I did fundamentally. I told Dan Mergliotti, I told all of them, I said, I'm going to go work my head movement and come back, and I'm going to show you all a completely different fighter, and I did. Psychologically, man, the second I got over the shock in that fight, which was about the second round, of being hit for the very first time with a bare fist and getting cut open for the very first time in my entire life, I started to realize that this was fun as hell and that this was where I belong, that I've always loved fighting. I've always loved testing myself because I was a spoiled brat as a kid. I didn't want for anything. I didn't grow up in a hard life, you know. But so I've kind of had to grow up as a man and prove to myself just how tough I was. And so that's what kind of led me to bare knuckle. And then there's actually a picture of me and Harris in the ring, and we're just grinning ear to ear, blood's running down our faces, and we're just having a good ass time. And the second they announced that I had lost by split decision, you know, regardless of how everybody else felt, I left it in the judge's hands, and I shouldn't have. And when as soon as I stepped out of the ring, I looked at my coach, and I'm talking about face swollen, busted up, hadn't even got stitches yet. And I told Coach, I can't wait to get back in the ring and do it again. And my parents were like, so we're done with this, right? We're done with this. And I'm like, hell no. When have y'all ever known me to walk away on a loss? And so, I went back and I focused on what I needed to focus on, and we prepared more for it. And I went out there and shocked the world. And on February 15th, I'm looking to shock the world again.
I think you will, my friend. You got tenacity, and one thing I like about your fight IQ is you go back and you fix the aspects that you need to work on. And not too many, you know, fighters in the sport these days do that. You know, you're a high caliber fighter and a little bit better than most people think. And I'll tell you, you've been around since I think 2014. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know,
2012. I had my first two amateur MMA fights my senior year in high school.
Yeah, see, I'm not always right. I was close.
Talk good, you know, man.
You got 7-8 years in the sport, you know. Did you ever surmise that you would be fighting such a high-caliber fight in such a top-tier promotion?
So I keep waiting for the memory to pop up on Facebook about 4 or 5 years ago. I made a post when I was about 21, 22. And I said, by the time I was 25, I'd be in the UFC. And by the time I was 27, I would hold the world lightweight title. And, 25 rolls around. I'm 3-1 in MMA. And still not anywhere near the UFC. Bare knuckle shows up. And I start fighting. I turn 26. And here I am, you know, turning 27 this year, and lo and behold, not only is this now for the BKFC championship belt, but it's for the World Police Gazette bare knuckle 55 belt. So in a way, yeah, I always knew that one day, because I didn't have a plan B. I've told people that when I work jobs, they're like, what are you going to do if fighting doesn't work out? I was like, it's going to work out. Like, I don't have a plan B. People that have plan Bs already have in the back of their head the mindset that they're going to fail with plan A.
Yeah.
So, I've always just sort of I've kept my nose to the grindstone. And I ain't gonna lie, there's been times where I've said, you know what, I'm done with this. I don't think I can do this anymore. Where's my why? And it, you know, it took a little while to find it. I went on a 2-fight lose streak right after I won my first amateur title. And then I took about 6 months off, and I went back and went on a tear and won another amateur title along with 6 fights in a row before I lost my next fight, which was to Jesse James Wallace as a pro. And then I lost to Harris Stevenson, so that was another 2-fight lose streak I was on. And now barely anybody knows about that because I got knockout of the year in the same year.
You're doing it, homie. You're doing it. You know, the opportunities that Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships has given out has changed lives. You know, how has it changed your life? And if there's any words of thanks to the promotion, what would you like to say to them, my friend?
Man, to David Feldman, Nate Shook, Ricky Duren, all of them at Bare Knuckle, I tell them after every fight, thank you for the opportunity, because of this, I was able to step up into a higher level of fighting and platform and market myself at a rate that last year alone in bare knuckle fights, which was only three fights, I made more money than I've made in my entire life fighting, including ticket sales, everything else. I made a third of what I make as a yearly salary, you know, and it's only been going up from there. Bare knuckle takes care of their guys, and you know, they're real busy. They're still a young company, so they're still trying to get things down pat. But, you know, like David Feldman called me and for this tournament was like, you know, hey, bud, look, we can't fly you out of your hometown. We got to fly you out of New Orleans, which is about 3.5 hours. He said, but don't worry, we're going to get you a hotel room the night before. And so they're literally taking care of me all the way to Florida. And they asked, they're like, what time do you want to leave Sunday? I said, man, give me the latest flight possible. I want to enjoy Florida. And so they did, you know, they take care of their fighters. They really do. You know, I wasn't expecting a knockout bonus that night that I knocked out Bastante, but I got one. You know, they've done really well with making sure that everybody's took care of. Maybe not when the fighter feels like it, but as soon as they get around to it, they're able to get to you. You know, it's just been a really great promotion to work for so far, and I'm really looking forward to watching it grow and being a part of it and becoming the new face of it.
I hear you there, bro. You know, one thing, you know, depending on the outcome, if you do become the champion, I mean, you've already cemented yourself. Well, you know, bro, I got to be kind of bipartisan. But, you know, the thing of it is you've already set your family's name in history. You know, you've added to your legacy, and now you got an opportunity to become the champion with two belts. And, you know, that's got to be a tremendous moment for you. What does it mean to you to have someone like Vince Anderson backing you every step of the way as you grow in this sport?
Man, Vince actually and I just recently started talking. Turns out he's actually lived not far from my original hometown of Lake Mississippi for about 8 years. And I knew of him because he managed Jason, but I never met him. He actually recently just started training at our gym, Primal Martial Arts Academy in Forest, Mississippi. But Vince has come out of nowhere and has not asked for anything other than just to help. And you know, I'm a true believer in loyalty. If Vince ever needs anything, I'm there to help him. You know, he's helped me in the last, I don't know, 2 weeks that we've really been talking. He's helped get me on podcasts like this. You know, he's helped me to understand how to work things that I was having to learn all by myself. Like, I started 2019 out with very few followers, and I had to learn how to market myself all on my own. And over the past year, I've sort of built a team. I don't have, per se, a manager, but I have a team that I discuss things with. And to have all of them back in my play and have them not be scared to tell me, hey, no, that's not a good idea, or hey, look, instead of doing this, you should do it this way. And having the trust to know that if they feel that I should go this route, then I go this route.
You know, even though my phone said when I called you, because I plug into my studio in New York, even though it said New York, New York, I'm in the Midwest. I'm in the South myself. You know, how hard is it? Because most people don't realize us down here in the South, we're laid back, we're chill people. We go about our business. How hard is it for you, Caleb, to go from that Mississippi chill to flicking that switch when you step in the squared octagon, or squared circle? My bad.
So I tell people there's two people in this world, and there's Caleb Harris, and then there's Lionheart. And as cliche as it sounds, Caleb Harris is the guy that very rarely will tell you no. He's going to go out of his way to make sure that somebody else smiles. He's going to do whatever he can for whoever he can. You know, I get pleasure off of seeing other people happy. That's just who I am. Mostly because I struggle with anxiety and depression from time to time and several other things. So I try to make sure that, you know, I know what that feels like, and I never want somebody else to feel that way. But then you have that walk, and that catwalk to the ring is where things change. Caleb Harris takes a back seat, and he lets Lionheart come over. And Lionheart, when he steps in that ring, I don't give a damn about anybody's feelings. I don't give a hell about anybody or anything except the man that's in front of me that's in my way of a paycheck. And I'm going to hit him and hurt him and put him in the ground as hard and as quick as I can. And then as soon as that bell rings and the fight's over with, whether my hand's raised or not, Lionheart steps back into his cave and Caleb comes back out and I'm ready to go have a drink with my opponent. You know, I have a small prayer that I ask God for before I walk out to every fight. And I ask him to put every bit of drama, anxiety, and emotional distress that I may have went through from my last fight to this fight, I ask him to put it in my hands and just to let it go. And when I get out there, that's where all that anxiety, all that stress, all that worrying about what other people think goes out the window. And that's how I flip my switch. The only way I can flip that switch off and quit worrying is to get on that catwalk and get to that ring.
That's dope, my friend. I love the way you put that, because it's funny, because a lot of people go, well, why do you ask some fighters the same questions? Well, you get a different answer. You get, you know, a different response, because there's humility and integrity and each and every fighter. It's just how they perplex it and are willing to share. You know, what does your family think about you now that you've pretty much surmised yourself? Now you got a title fight on the line. What is your family thinking now of you being in bare knuckle?
My mom will always be a little apprehensive about this. So will my dad, but he's come around a little bit more. But I've had the best support system in my parents since day one. My coach, Larry Engel, who I originally started karate with at 7, I've not left. I've been with him for 19 years. He could tell my parents that I'm ready to go fight a gorilla in the ring, and my parents would be looking at me like, when do you fight? They have that much absolute trust, and they have the same in my newest coach, who I've been with for about 5 years now, Johnny Little. They have always supported me. They've never once told me, are you sure this is what you might? Now, they worry. Like I said, you know, with bare knuckle, they were really hoping that this was going to be a one-time thing. But they see the passion that I have for it. And my mom has always told me she didn't care what I did. As long as I did it with every bit of ounce of passion that I had, she would be behind me. And same with my dad. And Lord knows that they put up with some shit, because I am not the friendliest person in the world the last 2 weeks of fight camp when I'm cutting weight down to 55. I've snapped on them and hollered at them. And instead of getting mad and upset and fighting back with me, they'll say, okay, well, I know you're tired, you know, go get some sleep. And then 30 minutes later, I'll text them, hey, I'm sorry, you know, I love you guys. And they'll be like, we know, son, you know, we know what you're going through, and just, you got this. And so it's been funny though, watching guys I grew up with in school find out that I do bare knuckle now. Cause like I said, I was the spoiled soft kid in school. I was still am the geeky little kid that likes to play Pokemon and video games and stuff like that. But now I'm also the guy that if you make fun of me for playing Pokemon, I'll beat your ass. So, you know.
I love it. You know, there was a statement that's been put out by several media sources, and I kind of put it in the body of the text of the show because I truly think it reflects you. The statement is, this young warrior will always... I'm messing up on my own show. You got me so psyched up. It says, the sport appreciates this warrior because he's always going to give back and doesn't forget where he comes from. But going into a war with someone like Jim Allers, he's gonna give Allers a war he will never forget. You know, is that statement ring true?
100%, man. Again, going back to my coach, Larry Engel, who, for the listeners out there, I just got done training with tonight, and he's 64 years old, and I will put money on any man out there half his age to try and beat him in any type of push-ups, sit-ups, or any kind of cardio where it requires muscle endurance. The man's not human. I honestly don't believe that. But I love him to death. He's like a second father to me. But he always told me, never forget where you come from. And I never have. And he had to make me go train with somebody else because I refused. I refused to go train with anybody else because I didn't want to disrespect him. And he was like, no, you need more training partners. Because at one point it was me, my best friend Dustin, and him. All three of us were training together. So you had two 18-year-olds trying to debut as MMA fighters and at the time, 50-year-old former PKA kickboxing competitor. And that was it. That was our training partners. And God willing, everything allowed us to come to Black Sails and become a part of that team. And, you know, I gained an amazing group of brothers that have helped me to become the man I am today. And if y'all think I'm a badass fighter, y'all should see some of these guys. They're the reason why I stay humble, because no matter how good I get, they always whoop my ass. So,
yeah, most definitely. You know, one of the biggest fights of your bare knuckle career is coming up shortly. You know, I already know what you know how you feel and think. You know, but what would you like to say to those that have whispered the words of intent, the people that have pushed you, the people that have stood by your side, not in front, not in back, but the ones that stood by your side, the ones that have been there since day one? What words of thanks would you like to give to them?
No words could ever describe the love I have for those that have stood by me since day one. And that's why when I walk out to the ring or the squared circle on February 15th to face the bare knuckle beast, they're going to get the best lion heart that this world has ever seen to date. And that I'm truly willing to die for those that have stood beside me. And I'm going to give it everything I've got. And just to say thank you would be almost an insult, because it's like I told my best friend, Dustin Puma, we've been friends for 21 years. And I told him, no matter which one of us makes it to the top, we both making it to the top, because he's been by my side no matter what, through every up and down, whether it was fighting or life in general, he's been there for me. And I fight for them just as much as I fight for myself. So this isn't a one-man sport. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, it's just you and your opponent in that ring. No, it's not. If you go in there fighting alone, you against me, you're already coming to lose. Because it may be only my body in that ring, but I embody the spirit of every one of my teammates who have ever been beside me and helped me train for that fight. And I'm willing to bring hell to that ring.
Man, I love that, bro. There's not much more that could be said, bro. You're ready. You're ready for this fight. But you know what? The fans of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships have clung to you. Your fan base is growing. What words would you like to say to either them or Jim Allers in preparation for BKFC 10?
To the fans, I want to thank you to everybody that has wished me encouragement from all over the world, from England to Afghanistan to Saudi Arabia to Ireland to right here in my hometown. Thank you all for your support, and I hope to always impress. No matter win or lose, I hope to always show you the real Lionheart. And to Jim Allers, I got all the respect in the world, brother. And in fact, I'd really love to have your autograph, but I'm coming to get my hand raised February 15th, and I'm looking to break a bunch of hearts in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And so I hope he's training just as hard as I am.
Amen. Keep it southern, bro. Keep it southern. Homie, it was an honor to have you on the show tonight. You know, when Vince hit me up about you, I was excited. You know, I've interviewed everybody else, but I've never interviewed you. And you're a tremendous young man in the sport and in your walk in life. It was truly a humbling experience to have you on my show tonight. I'm going to pass the mic to you. If you have any friends, family, social media sites, or just anything else that you would care to add to the program, the floor is yours, homie.
I want to thank all my sponsors for everything that they've done for me. Lyle Machinery, Beavers Unlimited, Shelly Electric, the band Candy Bone. If y'all haven't heard of them, go check out their song Welcome to the Freak Show. Fit Chef Catering, who's gotten me down in my weight back to 55. MMA Uncensored and Rev Gear for signing me and giving me some of the best gear. And of course, Mystic Roots CBD, which I took right before this podcast to kind of help chill as I sit in the sauna. And Cypress Bayou for always making the best fight shirts in the game. Mary Jane's House of Glass and Champ Wraps by the actual main event fighter, Hector Lombard, who also is going to be sponsoring me. And then Iron Jaw Custom Mouthpiece. I appreciate every one of y'all. Thank y'all for the support. And last thing before I go. If anybody's out there battling anxiety or depression, I tell everybody and on any podcast I do, that's one of my stipulations. Keep walking. Keep fighting. No matter how many times you get knocked down, no matter how bad you want to just go home and shut the lights off for good, keep getting up and cutting the light back on. Because I promise you, it's able to get better the harder you push. But if you ever just sit down and lay down, you'll never get any better than where you are. So from one fighter of anxiety, depression, and suicide to another, keep the fight up. Thanks, guys.
Amen. You have a good night, brother. God bless you. And do handle your business against Jim Allers, man. After BKFC 10, I'd love to have you back on again and share some more with you with the world if you're down with it.
I'm down, brother. Anytime you want, you just give me a call.
All right. I appreciate you, man. We'll see you at BKFC 10. Best of luck to you, homie. Have a good night. God bless you.
Peace. You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, Caleb Harris. I love the kid, man. I got to admit, that was the first time I interviewed him. Kind of had me tongue-tied for a minute there because it felt like I was talking to Jason Knight for a second. But definitely not Jason Knight, but the heart of a champion. I love that about BKFC. It defines these young warriors. It gives them an opportunity where they might not have been doing so well in another genre, but they come over to the bare-knuckle fighting world, and that's where their passion and their heart is truly at. I want to thank Vince Anderson, tremendous, tremendous giving man in the sport, for hooking me up with tonight's show. Man, anytime, homie, you want somebody on, I'm down. I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cut Man for Hire, with Jacob Stitch-Duran and Juan Ramirez, the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, and last but not least, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. With that being said, have a good night, and God bless.
Lend them some. never break.